Jenna Flood realized two things in the time it took the black numbers on the silver liquid crystal display to tick between 55 and 54. She was looking at a bomb, and she had less than a minute to live. 49? 48? Jenna took a step back. Her flip-flops slapped against the soles of her feet, the only noise she could hear over the sound of blood roaring in her ears. She wasted the precious seconds wavering in indecision.
"Listen to your gut," her father was fond of saying, "but make up your own damn mind."
He seemed to always have sage one-liners ready, like some ancient wise man. His first name was actually Nathan, but everyone called him Noah. Noah Flood. Despite the funny looks he got when people first heard the name, Jenna thought it actually pleased him to be nicknamed for the world's most famous mariner. He had been Noah to her since she could talk, not Dad or Daddy. Jenna's ability to separate gut instinct from thoughtful rationale was not as finely tuned as Noah's, which was almost certainly the very point he was trying to make. A visceral gut reaction could alert a person to very real dangers, which was a possibility for an adolescent girl in South Florida. The human body had only two responses to those instinctive warning signals: fight or flight. Her gut told her to flee. There wasn't time for any kind of rational approach to this problem. Not for her. But her father...
Noah?
Her voice sounded shrill in her ears. Noah, there's a bomb in here. 45? 44? She opened her mouth to shout again, but glimpsed movement on the deck outside. Noah slid down from the bridge, hands on the rails of the ladder, feet never touching the rungs. He landed on the deck and burst through the cabin door. She waited for him to laugh and admit to a prank, or to chide her for mistaking some harmless piece of equipment for a bomb. But he did neither. Instead, he pushed her aside with a brusqueness she had seen him use only once before, just a week earlier. She had seen a different side of him that day, and it had been so anomalous that she never expected to see it again. Yet, here it was again. Caught off balance, she started to stumble, but his hand clasped her forearm, steadying her. Then he pulled her behind him, dragging her toward the upper deck's door. She craned her head around and caught one last glimpse of the timer counting down. 39, 38, before Noah jerked her away. As she followed, she continued the countdown in her head, muttering under her breath. 37 alligators, 36 alligators. What will happen when it gets to zero? With her mind's eye, she looked past the numbers on the simple kitchen timer and saw the rest of it. Several plastic-wrapped blocks of something that looked almost like cheddar cheese lined the bottom of a 16-quart igloo cooler that someone had left under the table in the small but well-appointed salon. Her gaze had been drawn to it immediately. The lunchbox-sized cooler looked completely out of place in the cabin. The galley had not one but two fully functional refrigerators, one of them stocked with a variety of beer and soft drinks. Clients never brought along coolers, and they certainly never left anything behind. If she hadn't been curious about what was inside it or had just been delayed a minute longer out on deck, what would have happened? What was going to happen? The yellow packets had to be some kind of plastic explosives, C4 or Semtex, that was what they called it in the movies. There were three bricks, each at least as big as a pound of butter. 3 pounds of plastic, Jenna wondered. Is that a lot? She thought it must be. Evidently Noah did too. 34 alligators? 33 alligators? Her father would know. He had a habit of correcting action movies, commenting on magazine capacities, overpressure waves, and how to treat stab wounds. But how did Noah Flood, a 50-something-year-old charter boat operator, know about things like overpressure waves and how many rounds a semi-automatic pistol ought to have? As Noah opened the door and started through, Jenna heard a sound like a hammer striking the bulkhead above the doorframe. Noah ducked back, uttering a rare profanity, and he peered through the tinted glass windows. What's wrong?
Sniper, Noah said. Probably up on the roof of the bait shop. He can't see us in here, but if we try to leave...
He shook his head.
He'll keep us pinned down here until the bomb takes care of us.
30 alligators? 29? A sniper?
What's going on? Who is doing this? Even as she said it, Jenna knew it was a stupid question. Well, maybe not stupid, but definitely the wrong time to ask. Still, it was going to take longer than 27 alligators to wrap her head around the idea that someone was trying to blow them up. That was something so far outside her experience, the only way her 15-year-old brain, even as sharp and quick as it was, could begin to grasp it all was to begin with why. Noah had his hands on his hips in that familiar, "What am I going to do now?" pose that usually made her smile. He figured out a lot of problems in that pose, and she knew that somehow he was going to figure this out too. Of course, it usually took him a little longer than 25 seconds. "Can we just throw it overboard?" she asked. He usually hated it when she offered suggestions, especially since she was so often right. This time, instead of shushing her, he just shook his head.
"Not with that sniper out there. That's why he's here. We don't get to leave, and neither does the bomb."
21 alligators? 20 alligators? Noah darted back to the cooler and peered inside it, cocking his head sideways.
"I don't see a jiggle switch,"
he muttered, then looked over his shoulder at her.
"Get in the head."
"What?"
"Sometimes these things come with an anti-tamper trigger."
Noah's voice was eerily calm.
"If I try to move it, it could explode. The walls of the toilet might shield you enough to survive."
When she did not move right away, he stopped being calm.
"Jenna, move!"
She jerked into motion and ran to the aft head, sliding the pocket door open just enough to squeeze inside. Despite his warning, she peeked out to watch what he was doing. Jiggle switch? Anti-tamper trigger? How does he know that? As she thought about this, she realized she'd lost the count. How much time left? Oh, maybe 15 seconds? Noah swung the lid of the cooler closed, then moving with excruciating caution, picked it up by the handle. Careful to avoid jarring or tilting it, he turned and headed forward into the master stateroom. He disappeared inside, then emerged a moment later, moving much more quickly. Jenna thought he was going to join her, but instead he turned into the galley. When he stepped out again, he carried 4 2.5-gallon water jugs, 2 in each hand. Still moving at a jog, he returned to the stateroom. When he came out again, he was empty-handed and running toward the small toilet compartment. Without saying a word, he pushed inside and pulled her down, covering her with his body.
"Noah,"
she whispered, though there was no reason to.
"Who is doing this?"
She no longer thought of it as a stupid question. In fact, it was the only thing that mattered now. In about 7 seconds, she was probably going to die. There wasn't anything she or Noah could do about it. All that was left was to answer that one burning question. Why? Who wanted them dead?
5 alligators? 4 alligators?
Noah didn't answer.
"Cover your head,"
he said, much louder than her whisper.
"Keep your mouth open."
He opened his mouth in a wide O, and when she tried to emulate him, her ears popped and her jaw hurt.
2 1 0 Nothing? Did I mess up the count? Maybe it's not.